الحمد لله الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه كما يحب ويرضى وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه فاللهم صل وسلم وبارك على حبيبنا وشفيعنا ووسيلتنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز أولم يكفهم أنا أنزلنا عليك الكتاب يتلى عليهم إن في ذلك لرحمة وذكرى لقوم يؤمنون وقال الله عز وجل في شان حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله Infinite and abundant praise, all glory, complete submission and all forms of worship are solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our creator, our sustainer, the one who sent the noble Quran and the noble messenger alayhi salatu wasalam to guide, purify and illuminate us and our lives. And salutations of peace and blessings be upon our noble messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and upon his righteous and beautiful family and upon the illustrious companions and all of those who follow in the footsteps of Islam until the day of Qiyamah. Respected elders, on this beautiful day of Jumu'ah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our attendance and make this day a means for our forgiveness, for our success and salvation in this dunya and also in the hereafter. And may we all be reunited like this on the day of Qiyamah in Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la. Ameen. In the glorious Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us a very important lesson, which is holding fast and holding firm onto the Quran, the Kalam, the guidance, our book of life from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is our center of our life, and this ensures that we remain close to Allah azza wa jal and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Generally in life, we all have disputes, and we dispute with one another on trivial things and also on significant and major aspects. Often we are able to resolve those issues amongst ourselves. However, sometimes we find ourselves embroiled in things which are far greater than us, and inevitably it leads to a legal dispute or a legal case where you say, fine, I'll see you in court. And this is especially when things are related to a person's wealth, it is related to a person's property, is related to a person's honor, then you say, fine, you know, I'll deal with you and I'll see you in court. So we need to represent ourselves either in court, or we need to appoint a lawyer who will represent us on our behalf, speak on our behalf before the courts. Similarly, we will be standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be escorted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the court of Allah azza wa jal. And on that particular day, on the day of Qiyamah, there will be the greatest court case. There will be the greatest dispute where insan will be disputing his life and saying, oh, I did this or oh, I did that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be saying, but rather you did this and rather you did that. And on that particular day, you will either be able to represent yourself, or you can get another representation on your behalf, which is namely the representation of the Qur'an, the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, the stakes are far greater on this particular day, because in the dunya, you'll either be given a probation, you'll either be given a slap at the back of the wrist, or you'll be given a sentence or a term, and that's it, you move on with your life. However, the final decision from Ahkamul Hakimeen is that you'll either be put into the places and beautiful paradise of Jannah, or you'll be placed into the abyss and the darkness of Jahannam. This is a great case and a great court that we all fail to overlook, that we all overlook and we all fail to prepare for when we are returning back to Allah Azza wa Jal. So imagine you going into your court here in the dunya and you have no preparation and you just prepare and represent yourself, and you will be struggling with the legal terminology and the precedents and how to represent the truth and all of the other evidences and interpret them. But also now try to imagine yourself when you are standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how you present yourself. What evidence will you present for yourself? How will you find a good lawyer who will be working on your behalf? And this is the topic of discussion today, finding a good lawyer, finding the good and the greatest representation that will fight for you on your behalf on the day of Qiyamah, standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in the hadith of Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentions, وَالْقُرْآنُ حُجَّةٌ لَكَ أَوْ عَلَيْكَ, that the Qur'an will be a proof for you. It will be your support. It will be your representative. And it will work for you, or it will work against you and testify against you. So this is a very, very important thing that we need to realize, that we can't just have a Qur'an that we leave on our shelves, that we say, okay, fine, we'll read it once a week or once a month, or we'll read it when somebody passes away. This is a very real thing. And when you have a strong and good connection with the Qur'an, then you know that the Qur'an will be shafi'an lak, the Qur'an will be hujjatun lak, it will be a proof for you, it will testify for you, and it will represent you on the day of Qiyamah before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how is it that we can appoint the Qur'an in the dunya for ourselves? Normally in the dunya, if you want a lawyer, you go to various firms and you look at them and their background, and if you have the correct currency and the amount of money, then you say, I want you to represent me in this particular case. So how can we get the Qur'an to represent us on the day of Qiyamah? There are five or six simple steps that we need to apply in our lives in order for the Qur'an to be hujjatun alayka, or hujjatun laka. It will depend on your action. We want it to be a proof for us and not a proof against us. So the very first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Qur'an, that وَإِذَا قُلِيَ الْقُرْآنِ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, that whenever the Qur'an is recited, i.e. you hear the majestic kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the timeless kalam of Allah azza wa jal, فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ, then you have to listen to it attentively. And this goes for when we hear the azan. It also is applicable when we come to the day of Jumu'ah or various other events when the Qur'an is being recited, but we are busy talking to each other. We're busy swiping things on our phone and not listening attentively to the recitation of the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here in this particular verse doesn't say sami'a. Allah rather uses the word istami'a. Istima'a. Rather listen to it attentively. Just like within our homes, we often say that we are listening to our wife or listening to our husband or listening to our children, but the reality is we're not. We're passively listening to whatever they are saying. We more actively listen to our friends, and especially we more attentively listen to our colleagues and our managers and our supervisors, because we know this concerns us and this will affect us in a great way. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the very first thing, that whenever the Quran is recited, you have to listen to it attentively. With your eyes, you listen, you watch it, and with your ears you listen to it, and with your heart also you understand what is being recited. وَأَنْصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, and you must also remain quiet, i.e. remain silent and remain focused on the kalam of Allah Azza wa Jal that is being recited. Only when you listen attentively and when you remain silent and focused on the Quran, then and only then do you receive the mercy, the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a very important thing for us to remind ourselves, that we need to be those people who attentively listen to the Quran and pray our full attention and focus on the recitation of the Quran, and not just something which is on in the background. Often we go to certain shops or we go to certain homes and they'll have the Quran on in the background. The Quran is not there for background noise. The Quran is not there so that you can just be on the Quran and you can supposedly receive its barakah whilst you are talking and cooking and engaging and doing so many other things. No, the Quran has to be listened to attentively and actively. If you are not listening to it, then this is a bi'adbi. And this is a sin, that you are not listening to the kalam of Allah Azza wa Jalla, but rather you are engaging with conversation with yourself or with other people. No, you have to listen attentively and remain silent and focus. Then and only then you'll get the rahmah of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Then and only then within your home, within your life, will you receive the barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you're not listening attentively, you're not focusing and remaining silent, then no matter how much you put Surah Al-Baqarah on within your home, Surah Al-Rahman on within your home, don't assume that you'll receive the blessings and mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. It doesn't work like that. It's two steps. Listen attentively, focus and remain silent, and then you receive the barakah of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Just go back approximately 200 years. May be difficult for us to comprehend and understand, but go back 200 years and ask yourselves, how did they used to listen to the Quran? They had no cassette players, they had no radio, they had no MP3s, they had no Wi-Fi, no YouTube, no internet, they had none of these things. How did people used to listen to the Quran, istima' of the Quran? They used to go to the masajid, especially for Fajr, especially for Maghrib and Isha, and this is the time they used to listen to the beautiful and melodious recitation of the Quran. They used to go on the day of Jum'ah to listen to the beautiful recitation of the Quran. This is how they used to listen to the Quran. Or they used to sit with one another and say, Yar, you read some of the Quran, and somebody else would read the Quran to them, and they would just sit down and listen to the Quran. This is how it used to be. Even the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam used to love listening to the Quran. Ibn Mas'ud and Ubay ibn Ka'ab, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasalam would say to them, recite the Quran for me. And they would say, Ya Rasulullah, how is it so that the Quran is revealed upon you, but you want us to recite it to you? He goes, no, I love the recitation of the Quran. So listening to the Quran is a hukum of Allah Azza wa Jal, but not passively listening, actively listening, attentively listening, focusing and remaining silent to receive the mercy and the barakah of Allah Azza wa Jal. So as I mentioned, if you go back 200 years or even 100 years, we had none of these things. And the only way to listen to the Quran was to go to the masajid, go to the mahafil, go to the people of the Quran, go to the imam, go to the sheikh, go to the qari, or invite them into your home and say, come and recite the Quran so that we can listen to it attentively. So ask yourself this question: what excuse do we have that we have all of the Quran in the palm of our hands? We have access to YouTube, access to all of the Qurra throughout the entire world, and it's merely a swipe away. But in spite of that, we never pull out our phones to listen to the Quran, and this is something which is missing in our lives. So what excuse do we have to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What excuse will we have to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam? What excuse will we have for the Quran, who will say, I was revealed for you, I was revealed so that you can listen to me, that you could find peace within my recitation, that you could be attentive and focus and receive the rahmah and mercy and barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In spite of all of this ease, in spite of everything that given to you by Allah Azza wa Jal, you still never used to listen to me attentively. Even when people come to Jum'ah, they are often doing their own things, either looking at the pattern of the carpet, talking to one another, or swiping through their phones and not listening to the actual recitation of the Quran. And this is where our failing is. So if you want the Quran to be hujjatun laka, if you want it to be your lawyer, if you want it to represent you on the day of Qiyamah, when you are standing in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you need to make sure that whenever, wherever the Quran is recited, always listen attentively. always focus and remain silent so that you can receive the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For listening to the Quran is also an act of ibadah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing is that being attentive, being focused and silent in the recitation of the Quran. The second thing that we need to do is the actual recitation itself that we need to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran, وَأُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَأَنْ أَتْلُوَ الْقُرْآنَ, that I have been commanded to be those people who submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be those people who completely surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We claim to be Muslims, i.e. we submit and surrender to Allah azza wa jal. But what is the next part? وَأَنْ أَتْلُوَ الْقُرْآنَ, and to also be from those people who abundantly recite the glorious Qur'an, the majestic kalam of Allah azza wa jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in various places of the Qur'an reminds us again and again, وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا, and to recite the Qur'an is in a measured manner, to abundantly recite it to the best of your ability. So there is an obligation to listen to the Qur'an, to focus upon the Qur'an, and also to recite the Qur'an to the best of your ability. And by reciting the Qur'an, we find with another ruling within this, which is when you recite, you are also obligated to make sure that you know the Arabic language to a certain degree where you are able to recite the Qur'an with basic tajweed. You know the difference between a ha and a kha. You know the basic differences between all the letters like a hamza and a ayn. You know the differences between all of these letters, and you are able to differentiate in your recitation. You should know the basics of your Arabic. You should know the basics of your tajweed. Because there is no excuse. We are able to learn science and mathematics and biology and geography and so many other subjects in our life. And we learn new skills throughout our lifetime. Why is it that we find so many excuses not to know the basics of tajweed, not to know the basics of the recitation of the Qur'an, even though it is a direct hukum from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Listen to my Qur'an so you know how it should be recited. Recite my Qur'an to the best of your ability. There is no excuse for you not to be able to recite the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala furthermore in the Qur'an mentions, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنْفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً يَرْجُونَ تِجَارَةً لَنْ تَبُورَ. Indeed, those people who abundantly recite the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they establish the salah, and they give out from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for them openly and hiddenly, they will find a trade. They will be engaging in a transaction, in a trade that will always give them profit, that they will never suffer any loss whatsoever when they are reciting the Quran as abundantly as they can. They will never fail in their trade. They will never suffer any loss. Their profits will never ever perish because they are reciting the kalam of Allah Azza wa Jal. That same kalam, when you say Alif Lam Mim, is not just one particular word. These are three individual letters, and for each and every letter you receive a reward, 10 hasanat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But every time you look at the Quran, you receive a reward from Allah Azza wa Jal. You recite the Quran, you receive a reward from Allah Azza wa Jal. When you listen to the Quran attentively and silence and submission and devotion, you receive a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, it is profitable for you no matter where you are, where you may be. But we need to make sure that we have this active engagement with the Quran, that we listen to it, we pay focus and attention to it, and we recite it abundantly as possible. And then the Quran becomes a hujjatun lak or hujjatun alayka, depending on your actions. The third thing that we need to do in terms of strengthening our relationship with the Quran is to memorize the Quran. And you might think, whoa, this is a very, very difficult task for us to achieve. But no, memorization doesn't mean that you have to memorize the entire Quran. This is not any, there is no verse in the Quran which says you have to memorize the entire Quran. But we must try to memorize as much as possible within our lifetime. That doesn't mean that when you went to the masjid and the madrasa and the 3 or the 5 or the 10 surahs that you learned, and that's it for the rest of your life, you suffice on those 10 surahs or 3 or 5 surahs. No, this is not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to constantly be engaged in the listening, in the reading, and also in the memorization of the the Qur'an to the best of our ability. The Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentions that a person who has no Qur'an in his heart is like kalbayt al-kharib, is like a house which is ruined and a house which is destroyed. So our illumination, our peace, our serenity, it is in the recitation, in the memorization, in the reflection of the Qur'an. So this is why we need to make sure that we have an active effort in trying to learn the Qur'an, not just the basics of the Qur'an, but you can learn one ayah a week. Perhaps you can learn one ayah even a month, or one surah within a particular year. It's possible. There's no excuse for you to be 70, 80 years of age and only have 10 surahs of the Qur'an, or only have maybe a few ayat here or over there and say, oh Allah, this is all I have to give you. You gave me the entire Qur'an, you gave me my mind, my intellect, but I use that to memorize all of these mathematical equations, all of these formula. I did that to do all of this programming and coding and do all of this accountancy within my life and learn so many other skills, but Allah, I didn't have time to learn one ayah a week, or one ayah a fortnight, or one surah in a month, or one surah in a year. Even if you learn one surah in a year, in your 40 years or 50 years, you'd have at least 50 surahs. But even then, we make so many excuses. Oh, I will suffice with what I have learnt in my madrasa or my maktab. No, this is not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam memorized, and he taught the Sahaba ikram to memorize, because this is what gives us guidance, gives us sukoon, and also gives us a source of protection as well. The fourth thing that we need to do is to ponder, to contemplate, and to reflect upon every single ayah of the Quran. Not those ayah that just make us feel good when somebody's reciting surah Ar-Rahman or somebody's reciting Surah Yasin, etc. But no, every single ayah is an ayah that needs reflection, that needs pondering, that needs tadabbur from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla reminds us, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. That it is, why is it that you do not reflect upon the Qur'an, that you do not contemplate upon the Qur'an? Is it your own heedlessness, or is it that you actually have locks upon your heart? And this is something which is very, very important that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, locks on our heart. Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't say that you have to memorize the Qur'an, but Allah does say that every single ayah that I give you, you need to reflect upon that particular ayah. And what are the locks that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about? What is a lock? A lock is something which prevents you from gaining access to something that is behind. You put a lock, you have a safe, you have a lock on your phone so that people can't access your data, your information, your photos on your phone. So what are the locks? عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. What are the locks that Allah Azza wa Jalla is talking about? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the desires that you have, the arrogance that you have, the ego that you have, or the wealth that you have, or the doubts that you have, or the sins and the dunya. All of these things are blocking your heart and blocking the Quran from penetrating into your heart. So you need to remove your ego and your arrogance and your takabbur. You need to remove the wealth and your desires and all of these other things that you give preference to yourself in your life, and say, no, every single ayah that is recited, whether in Surah Al-Fatiha, whether in Surah Al-Falaq, whether in Surah Al-Nas, I will reflect upon every single ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. And you will see there will be a transformation in how you recite the Quran and how you understand the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِ. That this is that beautiful, majestic book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. It is Mubarak. Why is it Mubarak? And when it is Mubarak for you, when it is blessed for you, it is only blessed for you, لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِ. When and only when you reflect and ponder upon the verses of the Quran, then it becomes a source of barakah for you. There's no point having the Quran within your home and you never open it, you never recite it, you never understand it, you never reflect upon it. No point having all of the apps in your phone and you never open it to recite or listen or reflect. Only barakah comes when you do tadabbur upon the Quran. Just like وَإِذَا قُرِيَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْسِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. That the rahmah of Allah Azza wa Jal will come when you listen attentively, when you focus and you remain silent in the ayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are some of the things that we need to do. Attentive listening and focus upon the Quran, recitation of the Quran, memorization of the Quran, pondering and contemplation upon the Quran. And then the next duty that we have towards the Quran is to convey its message to the best of our ability. The Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentions, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةٍ. That share whatever you have from me, even if it is one ayah, even if you know one ayah of the Quran, even if you know one hadith of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, we need to share that. This is our mandate from Allah Azza wa Jal. This is also from the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And Allah Azza wa Jal himself reminds us, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. But who is better than that person who calls onto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then carries out righteous actions and says, I am indeed from those who submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So every single one of us knows an ayah. We know Surah Al-Fatiha, Alhamdulillah. We know Surah Ikhlas at least. We know other surahs. So we know all of these ayat. What is our duty as Muslims? To spread this ayahs, to spread and convey the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to your neighbors, to your friends, to your colleagues, to your managers, to those people that you walk around, to your friends, to share with them that this is an ayah of the Quran. This is an ayah of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us. You can say to them simply, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, declare that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one and only. He is our Lord. You can share these ayat of the Quran with your friends and your colleagues. This is our requirement. It's not just the mandate of the imam or the sheikh to go around and do da'wah. Every single one of us is required to share the message of the Quran wherever they go. Why is it that the Surah Al-Ikhlas is the equivalent of 1/3 of the Quran? Have you ever pondered upon that? That why is it that you recite Surah Al-Ikhlas? قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. When you recite this 3 times, this is the equivalent to reciting 1/3 of the Quran, equivalent of receiving 1/3 reward of the entire Quran, because of what it means, because of what people have pondered upon, because of how you implement this in your life and how you share this with other people as well. This is the 5th thing, conveying the message, where even if it may be one ayah that you know from the Quran, and then applying the Quran within your life, perhaps the most important aspect in our life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, وَهَذَا كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ مُبَارَكٌ فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَاتَّقُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. That this is the Quran, the Mubarak Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. فَاتَّبِعُوهُ, and therefore we must apply it. Follow in its footsteps. وَاتَّقُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. And then be conscious and fearful and aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we can receive the mercy of Allah azza wa jal. So when you ask yourself that, oh, I don't feel any barakah in my life, I don't feel any barakah within my home, ask yourself, do you listen to the Quran attentively? Do you focus upon the Quran? Do you give it to due diligence? Do you reflect upon the Quran? Do you memorize the Quran? Do you recite the Quran? Are you sharing the message of the Quran? If you don't do any of these things, and if you're not applying the ahkamat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of halal and haram and all of the other things, then why would the barakah ever come in your life? Why would the barakah ever come within your home when you're not doing any of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking you to do? Kitabun anzalnahu mubarakun fattabi'uhu wattaqu la'allakum turhamun. So reading, listening, reciting, following the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what brings that barakah within our lives. So as I mentioned at the beginning, that the Quran, hujjatun laka aw alayka, the Quran can be a proof and your witness and lawyer for you on the day of Qiyamah, or it will be your witness and your lawyer against you, testifying against you on the day of Qiyamah. So we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us. We want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. And He has given us the means for representation in the dunya as well as in the hereafter by following and applying, reciting and pondering upon the beautiful Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, أَوَلَمْ يَكْفِهِمْ أَنَّا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ يُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَرَحْمَةٌ وَذِكْرَى لِقَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ. It is not sufficient that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the beautiful book to them, that they recite, and this is the book which gives them that mercy, that gives them the remembrance and connection and the barakah. But we need to make sure that we apply it to the best of our abilities in our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to recite, to understand, to reflect upon the Quran, to memorize the Quran, to share the Quran and apply the Quran to the best of our abilities.